You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Enjoy driving a cab?
Nah, as soon as I get my driver's license, I'm quitting.
Aren't those numbers clicking by awfully fast?
You're probably a speed reader.
Well, you got me there. Another 2 miles and we own this cab. I hope you brought money.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Your $5 ass down before I make change.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly. Think.
You dirt-eating piece of slime. You scum-sucking pig. You son of a motherless goat.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That guy in a little coat.
You stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Woo! Here we go, guys. Welcome to episode 195 of Cinema Crespediso.
Woo! 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 Woo!
Just like that, it is Florida's number one movie podcast. If you can think of another podcast from Florida that's better, it's about movies that's better, go fuck yourself. We don't believe you. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, limousine riding, jet flying, alligator shoe wearing. Alligator shoes, Daddy. That's me.
Where is this jet? And why aren't we using it more often?
Because we're on the boat. Because we're using the boat.
I mean, does the quality of the boat have anything to do with the quality of the jet?
Does the quality of the jet match the quality of the boat? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It is a hand-me-down G2 Gulfstream. G2, you know how old that is?
I am not flying with you.
You know how old that is?
I am not flying
These
with you.
These planes were used to fly Noriega's cocaine.
Chris, I'm not flying with you.
That's fine. You don't have to fly with me.
No.
You don't have to.
Not doing it.
You don't have to.
Nope.
You can walk.
No, I will ride coach in a commercial aircraft.
The riding coach is Drewster Cogburn, Drew!
Hey, at least I'll make it there alive. No guarantee with your plane, buddy.
No guarantee with your plane, dude. No guarantee with any plane.
Even less of a guarantee with your plane.
That's possible. Guys, welcome to episode 195. It's just the two of us. We had a guest. Well, cancel, unfortunately, at the last minute due to auto errors. It's sad. It's a sad thing.
Did you see the picture?
I saw a picture, yes, I saw a picture.
He almost died.
I know, it was terrible. But he's alive, he's fine, and he'll be here soon. Shout outs, he'll be good. So, it's the two of us, but we're good to go. We're also, I'm drinking one of these Tom and Dan middle-of-the-road beers. Thanks to the homie Gabe for coming by and dropping them off. Thanks, dude, from the Tom and Dan event yesterday. Brought us a couple of six-packs. Again, a try. It's from the Red Cypress Brewing over there in Winter Springs area. I feel like I'm cheating on our Orange Blossom Brewing cohorts, but I think Tom understands. He's all about community.
He is. I mean, if it's good, it's good. I mean, even Tom says that.
That's true. And this middle-of-the-road beer is...
It's pretty middle-of-the-road.
It's kind of middle-of-the-road, but it's pretty good. No, it's good. It's a good beer. I'm enjoying it. We'll be drinking that for a few days now. So we got to do a show, like we always do. Here to bring you the entertainments, and we start that with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, because that's how every show starts. And to start the Netflix Pick of the Week, we need to start with the theme song, which is where's that button? No, is it here? We go. We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Guys, you can go to. Oh, I just banged my elbow, but that's totally fine. You go to ChrisCrespo.com to check out past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week, movie reviews, and previous episodes of Cinema Crespo Disso, Drew Stacogba, and will you do us the favor and guide us down the path that is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, week?
I'll tell you what it's not, Chris.
Oh, is one already one in the randomizer?
It's not the Back to the Future trilogy.
They took down the Back to the Future trilogy?
Yes.
Oh, no. Why would they do such a thing? That makes me sad. It makes me want to... I gotta go through... wait, where's it? Where's
taking too long to set up this joke, Chris.
Funny thing is, I had the app open, and then I closed it looking
twice.
For another app.
Close it twice.
No, then I reopened. Then I opened a different one. I actually started opening this one, which is the one where... I'm not afraid with the volume. If the volume's too high, I'm gonna make everyone all mad at me. Because this is the one where I go like this.
Fatality.
That's that one.
So it's not the Back to the Future trilogy.
That's right, because it has a...
Fatality.
The one that they do have, though, Chris, is from 2015.
Now I got the app open. It's bad.
I'll break your hand.
That's a weird clue.
From 2015, Chris. It's an
idle hands.
It's an hour and 58 minutes.
That's on Netflix.
And it's rated R.
Rated R.
It's a gritty dark drama.
Gritty dark drama.
Based on a book. And it's a 20th century piece.
From 2016?
2015.
Rated R. Based on a book. Drama. Adult drama. Rated R adult drama. As opposed to rated R child drama. Based on a book. 2015, not the Back to the Future trilogy. Mm-mm. Starring a white guy.
Yes. Very white. The whitest of whites.
The whitest of whites. Sean Patrick Flannery, Powder 2.
Pretty white, but not that white.
It's not the sequel to Powder.
No.
The whitest of whites. David Duke. I don't like any David Duke movies. The whitest of whites, 2015. That's a dude. It's on the Netflix. I need another clue.
Sienna Miller.
Sienna Miller was just in... She was just in American Sniper, and she was also just in... She was just in two movies playing the wife of the main character in both movies. One of them was American Sniper. The other one is... Bleh. Damn it.
The other one...
I thought it would come, Drew.
It's also...
She's a brunette in this one.
Yes.
She's a brunette in this one. She's a blonde in American Sniper, and she's a brunette in this one. Yep. And then when the movie
Luke
was
Evans
over,
is in this one.
I was like, oh, that's Sienna Miller and Luke Evans in this one. Luke Evans, he was in the Fast and Furious, not the last one, but the one before, and he was in Immortals, and he is also, he's, Luke Evans is, I like to refer to him as not Dominic West.
Correct. Elizabeth Moss is in this.
So Elizabeth Moss is that lady.
So is James Purefoy. And Keely Hawes. If I give you any more, you'll guess it immediately. So I can't.
I don't know why this is killing me right now, Drew.
2015, rated R. Hour 58 minutes. A drama based on a book. 20th century period piece. Thriller. It's gritty and it's dark. It's got Sienna Miller and Luke Evans in it.
Why is it?
Luke Evans dies.
Luke Evans dies in it.
Sienna Miller is an awful person.
Sienna Miller is in real life or in the movie?
No, in the movie.
Sienna Miller's an awful person. Luke Evans dies.
Everybody's pretty much an awful person in this movie.
Well, I don't know why I'm drawing such a blank. This is killing me. This is killing me, Drew.
Whitest of the whites.
The whitest. The white whites. It's the white whites.
Hang on. Let me see if I can do it this way.
Okay. Drive me crazy. Okay. Drew's going to try to figure out how to get me to guess this movie.
Okay. So we have... the new Alfred and
Michael Caine.
Loki.
Oh, Jeremy Irons.
The new Alfred and Loki are in a movie directed by this the guy who did the ABCs of Death.
ABCs of Death? Who did ABCs of Death? ABCs of Death is an anthology. Multiple people did that.
Exactly.
Adam Wingard worked on it.
Dude, come on. Last year.
Jeremy Irons.
Tom Hiddleston. You loved the movie.
I love this movie.
You raved about it.
That's why it's a Crespo Disso randomizer.
You're like, everybody should see this fucking movie.
Batman vs. Superman Meet the Avengers.
High Rise.
Oh, High Rise.
Ben
that's
Wheatley.
Right. High Rise. High Rise.
Sienna Miller.
That's great. That's right. Sienna Miller. She's a brunette in that one. I knew it. It was in the brain. It was bouncing around in there in the clogged recesses.
Chris,
of...
you do realize this is the first time you have not guessed the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Is it? You also didn't give me enough time. If you gave me another hour, I would have figured it out.
Nope. This is the first time.
High Rise. Ben Wheatley's High Rise. Billy D reviewed this in for his Billy D Set to the Movies. We reviewed it for the Florida Film Festival. We all agree that it's fantastic, and it's on a Netflix pick of the week. It's an adaptation of a J.G. Ballard movie. Novel. The novel's from the 70s, but it takes place in the future. So the movie
is a 70s future.
It's weird.
Because like everybody else is in the 70s, yeah, except for the high rise, which is in the future.
It's like the 70s.
But it's still the 70s.
It's the 70s, but it's the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. Which I like.
It's good.
Good times. Really, I'm looking forward to Ben Wheatley's next one, Free Fire.
Yeah.
That trailer looks crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Crazy cast, crazy trailer. That comes out sometime this fall, I believe. Fall, winter. High Rise came out earlier this year, and it's already on Netflix. And yeah, guys, check out Loki going crazy in a building that breaks down, and Luke Evans is in it. He was Zeus.
Yeah. And, you know.
And new Alfred.
New Alfred's all like, I'm fucking crazy.
And he's like, I'm fucking crazy. I gotta work on that Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons. He has the bits of a draw that's.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. But once you get it, it's like, it's gonna be so good. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get that Jeremy Irons. All right, let me write that down. High Rise is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Billy D will back that up. It's a crazy, wild, interesting, satirical film. Let's get into the box office recap, Drew. Where are we starting the top five?
I guess we'll start at number 100. Maybe. I don't know how many theaters this fucking one movie's playing in.
So it doesn't go deep enough?
No, it's not on the top 54.
So the numbers stop after that?
Yes.
Okay.
Not in the top 54.
So something past 54. Let's start in the top five, somewhere past 54. Here we go. Number something.
Train to Busan. It made some money. We saw it at the Enzian.
Yes, we saw it at the Enzian. Does it say how many theaters it's in?
It's not on the list, Chris. I told you. It's not on the list.
Oh, not on the list at all.
It's not on the list.
So we can't even find out how much it made this weekend.
As far as we know, it's playing only at the Enzian right now.
As far as we know, guys, this movie, Train to Busan, is only playing at the Enzian Theater in Maitland, Florida. So if you're not us, sorry. But we went and saw Train to Busan.
Yes.
Which is pretty much zombies on a train. A.K.A. Snowpiercer of the Dead.
Yes.
A.K.A. Train to Busan. It's a movie about 28 days later, but it's that first day, and it's like the morning of. So instead of all the 28 days, it's like one day later. But instead of one day later, it's like this morning. So that's what the movie's like. A zombie outbreak happens in South Korea just as a dad is taking his little girl on a bullet train to the city of Busan to see her mother. And of course, there's zombies. Remember the scene in World War Z, Drew?
Yes.
The zombie outbreak on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
There was like one scene. Well, that's this movie.
Yeah.
Turns of feature length.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. What'd you think?
Oh, I mean, it was all. Actually, hang on a second, Chris. Okay, 2016. What's today's date?
Today is October 2nd.
So it'll be the weekend of. Oh, that's it. Last weekend was the last weekend it was in theaters.
Okay.
It was only in 20 theaters.
Only in 20 theaters.
Only made $30,000.
Only made $30,000.
Total of $2 million for the domestic.
Domestic run in the U.S.
Yeah.
So it's probably been bouncing around in small theaters in the U.S. for a while. We finally got it here in the Southeast. Probably means it might be coming out on DVD and VOD and stuff like that pretty soon. I say look for people.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you're into foreign films, it's a good foreign film. If you're into zombie movies, it's a great zombie movie.
I think so.
If you're into foreign zombie movies, guess what? We got your new favorite film.
Yeah, right. For real, the best foreign zombie film since Bio Zombie. I don't know, man.
Yeah, probably
Bio Zombies from like 2002.
Yeah,
maybe earlier.
All the zombies were breakdancing into zombism, which was awesome.
Yeah, they're spasmodic contortions.
Yeah. I guess it looked like one guy was straight up breakdancing.
They came up with interesting their own rules for these zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not totally traditional, which is cool. Came up with their own rules, which then they used to tell the story.
Yes.
Getting people to survive on a bullet train that are now filled with
zombies. No.
28 days later style zombies where they're fast.
They're fast and very angry.
Fast raging.
But you know, they can't see you in the dark though.
Apparently, yeah. Some weird weird things. Yeah. Weird little details.
Yeah.
Working a lot on sound. It's interesting,
I think. It is.
Very heavy on the family stuff.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the way they roll over there.
I think that is the big thing with South Korean movies and culture. They're just very big on family. Yeah. So like movies like The Host and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance and Old Boy, all those movies are
deal with family.
They're all hinged on family somehow. And this is
this one too?
No exception.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
So did I. It's one of the better zombie movies I've seen recently.
For sure. So funny.
If they had made this movie instead of World War Z, this movie with Brad Pitt instead of World War Z,
yeah,
I would have been like, World War Z was awesome.
It's the better version. Yeah. Also, World War Z is PG-13. This is for sure an R.
Oh, well, yeah. Just
good amount of blood.
Yeah.
It's not overly gory or
no,
gross,
it isn't.
But it's still bloody.
But still, the zombies are, they're zombies.
There are zombies in there. Another thing they took from World War Z, that the insect-like nature of them, the swarm-like nature.
Yes. Oh, they really went heavy with that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
And a lot of practical effects with that, too, though.
It seemed that way, yeah.
Like, there was one scene where, like, a group of 40 quote-unquote zombies definitely pushed, like, 50 zombie dummies through a window to land on them and then chase.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was practical. You could tell, like, it was actual.
The weight of the
everything.
Of everything. Yeah, for sure. It's a very good movie. Very enjoyable. I like South Korean movies. South Korean cinema kills it, so.
They don't like the cash, that's why.
Yeah, I think so.
They put the money into it.
In terms of foreign cinema, yeah, they do make their movies for $10, $20, $30 million sometimes, so. And for them, that's a lot of money. Train to Busan, guys. Look for it. Many chances you can check out the Rotten Tomato thing there. I'm sure it's pretty high. Because the first time I heard of this movie, I saw on like Twitter and stuff, people were tweeting about it. It debuted at the Cannes Film Festival this year with their midnight screenings program. So even the Cannes Film Festival, they have the midnight screenings. And midnight screens are typically your violent movies, your horror films, your sci-fi, crazy stuff. So at the Cannes Film Festival, they'll book something like Train to Busan as their midnight screening movie, which is pretty interesting.
Ooh, 94%.
94% fresh?
Yeah.
Out of how many reviews?
Only 31.
Only 31 reviews. So out of 31, a good amount of them were
positive. Average rating 7.2 out of 10.
7.2. I'd go like 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Train to Busan delivers a thrillingly unique and purely entertaining take on the zombie genre, with fully realized characters and plenty of social commentary to underscore the bursts of skillfully staged action.
Sure, because they throw in some class warfare stuff with the CEO guy who's after himself. They throw in a little bit of distrust of the government, like every time they get government orders, it's like, that's not the things you should be following, you know, things like that.
No.
There is a little bit of social, but it also not hammering you over the head with it.
No,
it's
definitely
just,
not.
It's just to tell the story.
Yeah.
Very entertaining movie.
It was. I watched it from start to finish. I was forgetting to drink my beer because I was watching the movie, Chris.
Right. It's like,
a good sign.
I was like, oh man, I still got all this OBP I got to drink. Shout out to Orange Blossom Pilsner. That was delicious. You can drink OBP at the NZN Theater.
Bet you can.
And we recommend y'all do that when you take that Sunrail to Busan. Because we got the Sunrail. Here would be the Sunrail to Sanford. Imagine if you're on the Sunrail going from downtown to Sanford and there's a zombie outbreak. There's only like two cars.
They are
double deckers though.
Let's start filming. It's not like there's anybody on the trains anyway.
That's right. They had that Saturday service. I'm sure the train's empty. Yeah. So we just film on Saturdays for the next couple months. Sunrail to Sanford. And like, it's a bunch of redneck zombies. Like, like, I can't tell if you're a zombie or you're just drunk and dirty. This is so confusing.
Number six this week, Chris.
Number six.
Mastermind.
It's
made $6.6 million. Same as total. Budget unlisted.
That was the other movie. I was thinking, I know there was like three movies that came out this weekend that I was vaguely interested in seeing.
Well, Chris, the reason why you didn't realize the movie came out is because it's only 38% fresh.
Out of how many reviews?
53.
Okay, what's the average rating on that?
4.7.
Yeah, it's not so good. But you know what? Outside of Napoleon Dynamite and maybe Nacho Libre, I don't think Jared Hess movies are typically that well reviewed.
Yeah.
So that's actually not that big of a surprise. Well, does it have a consensus there? Don't do it.
Mastermind's great cast and Stranger Than Fiction true story are largely wasted on a scattershot comedy with a handful of funny moments and far too much wackiness. And that's what I've kind of heard, that the movie is way more weird than it is funny.
Well, that's for sure. I would expect that from Jared Hess.
But
I would expect that from the Napoleon Dynamite
guy. But even some of those movies are apparently funnier than this one.
I guess so. I gotta see it.
I guess.
I haven't seen Napoleon Dynamite in a minute either.
I didn't like it, Chris.
You didn't like it?
Never liked it.
Interesting. I got it on DVD. I feel like I should revisit it. Maybe I'll like it less this time.
Maybe it's because I knew people like that. Like, I interacted with people like that in real life.
You know, actual people?
They make me angry.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
For me, that's a novelty.
Yeah. No, they're, yeah.
Like, Tino, can we get your ham?
Yeah, I've met people that.
That was such a popular line for a minute.
I know.
And now people are like, why are you talking about, why are you giving Tina so much ham for?
Seriously, Chris.
Bag of ham, isn't that a Swervy Jones thing?
Number five this week.
Number five.
Sully made another $8 million. 5.3.
Another one of them real life true stories. This one about a dude who water landed a plane because he hit some birds.
Good job, Tom Hanks.
Why you be hitting birds for, Sully? Why you hitting birds?
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Storks.
Storks.
Speaking of birds.
More birds. Why don't you hit those birds, 13, Sully?
13.8 million. Made a total of 38.8.
Does it have a budget there?
70.
70. Not too. That's a middle-sized budget for an animated movie like this. Didn't see Storks. Not going to see Storks.
If you see it, let us know. Thank you.
I will see Porks, though. If you make Porks, I go see Porks.
Number three this week, Chris.
But I won't see Storks.
The Magnificent Seven.
The Magnificent Seven.
Weekend gross of $15.7 million, total of $61.6.
My dad's going to get one tall to say. I wonder what he thought of it. He probably liked it. It's a type of movie for... It's like a... This is a dad movie.
A buddy from work went and saw. He said he liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Magnificent Seven's good to go see in theaters now.
Yeah.
But... Really, this movie is made so that people can watch it with their dads on like a Sunday afternoon down the road in a few years from now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a total like at home watch this with, you know, family. I mean,
it is a middle of the road, exciting adventure.
Western. I mean, there's nothing unique about it.
You know the story already.
The most
whether unique, you know the story, whether you think you know the story or not, trust me, you know the story.
For real. Yeah. It's been done so many times.
Yeah.
And maybe the most unique thing about the movie is it's the first time Denzel's been on a horse.
Yeah, well, I was about to say maybe the most unique thing is the cast, because it is a very...
very good cast, very good varied cast.
Exactly, and it's varied. I mean, we got a black guy that was an ex-slave.
Yep.
There's a drunk Irishman who's the white guy.
Yep.
We've got a Mexican, Native American.
Yep.
I mean,
and the French guy who was a Confederate soldier.
The French guy who was a Confederate soldier.
The Cajun.
Exactly.
Cajun.
And then the random...
And his Chinese
Oriental
buddy.
Guy, the random, I think Japanese.
He's played by a South Korean dude.
Yeah.
That guy's South Korean.
Yeah.
But he mentions how, like, I found him in Shanghai. So I was like, is he supposed to be playing a Chinese dude?
Well, here's the thing, though. Back then, at that point in time, when you say Shanghai, that's, like, the only town anybody knows in the fucking East.
He's like, we found him in the Orient.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. Ignorance.
But from the looks of, like, the swords and whatnot, I would probably think Japanese.
He did have a blade-heavy thing, so he could have been a Japanese guy. Yeah, I guess it's not really defined.
Mm-hmm.
That actor, I'm pretty sure, is South Korean. Byung Young Ho.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, a South Korean
style. Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun movie.
So, you know,
definitely, if you like Westerns, it's a great cast.
I mean, it's even a strong female character.
Which the original didn't have. They gave the lady a little more agency.
Mm-hmm.
She went and got the group together, and they gave her a gun at the end.
Yep.
Fake J-Law.
Yes.
She's a redhead in this one, so she's a little less J-Law looking.
Mm-hmm.
That girl on the train, though.
Yeah.
Looks just...
Straight up, yeah.
I gotta imagine that's why she's getting work now. People are like, she looks like Jennifer Lawrence. If we cast her and put her in trailers, but don't mention that her name's Haley Bennett, people will think that it's a new Jennifer Lawrence movie.
Hey, she looks good.
She looks great.
So
she looks great.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was Magnificent Seven. It's still making money. People go see it.
Number two this week.
Number two.
A Deepwater Horizon.
All right, here we go. Deepwater Horizon.
$20.6 million. Seems total budget of $110 million.
$110 million. That's a decent sized budget for this movie about real heroes.
Real.
Not to disparage anyone, and not to say that these guys aren't, you know, quote, brave or whatever. But it's not heroes. They are oil rig workers who found themselves in a shit situation and had to
and
get
managed
themselves
to get out.
They managed to get out. Good for them. That's a miracle and all that, etc. So make them heroes? They're just trying to survive. They're survivors is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying the word heroes gets watered down a lot because it gets used way too often. It gets used often to describe people who are just doing their jobs.
There are no more heroes.
So, there shouldn't be heroes anyway. No more. Hashtag no more heroes. I didn't see this. The reviews are just like, because they're middle of the road, right?
Yeah. They've gone up a bit.
They've gone up a bit, because the main thing that I read is that while it's a serviceable movie, it's kind of lacking heart, and that Peter Berg, the director, it's more just like he just showed up and shot the movie and did the job as opposed to like really feeling
like one of his passion projects.
Yes, exactly. As opposed to this Patriots Day movie, the Boston Marathon bombing film that's coming out later this year, also with Mark Wahlberg.
It's certified fresh, 82%, 7 out of 10. Deepwater Horizon makes effective use of its titular man-made disaster to deliver an uncommonly serious yet still suitably gripping action thriller.
All right, well, I'll check it out eventually. Maybe I'll see a matinee of it or something. I don't know. Maybe my mom will want to go see it. Probably not. She doesn't like movies like that. She doesn't want to be stressed out.
Number one this week, Chris.
Number one.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
That Tim Burton, yo.
Made $28.5 million. Same as total.
28?
28.5. Budget of 110 as well.
Another $110 million budget. Both these movies kind of high budgets and sort of a low opening weekend. Then against the end of September. And a $30 million opening weekend is like right in line for the top for movies for September. You know, movies like Black Mass, that came out as a September type movie. Mm-hmm. Movies that are like, they're good, but not good enough for awards.
Yeah.
They have some commercial prospect, but not enough to come out during the summer. Hence, September.
Yes.
This seems like a type of movie. It's a Tim Burton movie. The trailers make it seem like, I don't even know. So it's a bunch of weirdo kids living in the house. It's a World War II.
How about this? Tim Burton's X-Men.
Essentially, right? Tim Burton's Young Mutants. Tim Burton's Young Mutants. No. With Eva Green as a bird lady. And they turn back the clock every day, but so a bomb doesn't kill them.
Yes.
And Samuel Jackson's an evil black guy?
Uh-huh.
I don't get it. What's the consensus saying?
64%. Average rating 5.9 out of 10.
So middling, at best.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children proves a suitable match for Tim Burton's distinctive style, even if it's on stronger footing as a visual experience than a narrative one.
Interesting. One of the things I saw...
It's pretty to watch, but it's not really saying much.
One of the complaints I've seen over and over is that the... towards the end of the movie, the second half, the last third, the plot gets kind of incomprehensible.
Nice.
Which makes me want to see the movie more. Like, really? Like, how did they fuck up a story that much that people don't even know what happens?
Well, we can find out, Chris.
I'll probably see it
one
eventually.
Way or another.
I'll see it eventually. So there you go. That's your top five. People, go see Train to Busan, a.k.a. Sunrail to Sanford. New movies come out in theaters. The Purge, Election Year.
Yes.
Check that out if you're into the Purge movies. It's pretty much a lot like the second one. Except maybe even more heavy-handed.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Heavier-handed, which
smacks you in the face with a brick. Like, this is what we're talking about.
Kind of amazing that it's even less subtle somehow. Yeah. Swiss Army Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic movie. Highly recommend that, guys.
Definitely worth checking that one out. X-Men Apocalypse.
Nah, I mean, if you're a completionist.
If you're into the X-Men movies, then watch it. But it's not going to convert anyone.
No.
It's one that's like four to fans or something.
Hey, at least we had a better Phoenix this time around.
Yeah, they're building up to a better Dark Phoenix saga this time. Although, I don't know, I love Famke Johnson. Bee and Charlie comes out on DVD. Remember that one from the Florida Film Festival?
Yes.
The Carl Reiner's newest. Was it Carl or Rob? Rob Reiner's newest. With the screenplay by his son, Nick.
Yes. Probably about his...
About his own...
Checkered past.
His own addictions, drug addiction issues. And
he said, did you have really popular tweets about that movie because of the kids?
I wrote a review.
Chicks, like, didn't some girls leech onto it or something?
Yeah. I wrote my Florida Film Festival review exactly because of whoever the lead guy is. He was like a Disney Channel guy or something. He's a heartthrob, a teen heartthrob. So I wrote my review, published it with a picture of him from the movie, and like... All these Twitter accounts that are like whatever the kid's name is, like blah 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 fan, like 2000 or something. They were all retweeted, and it was like these girls don't care about the movies.
No,
they were responding to it like I love you to that person. anyway, people are dumb. That's it. That's all the movies coming out on DVD. Drew, what's coming out in theaters? What we got?
I'm not even sure. Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life.
Which is a James Patterson adaptation, known for writing airport spy novels and action novels. He writes a kid's book, and it got turned into a movie. Called Middle School, The Worst Years of Our... It sounds terrible.
The Birth of a Nation comes out?
Birth of a Nation, the Nate Parker story by... what's this guy's name?
Nate Parker.
No, Nate... what's his name? The guy... It's Nate something.
Director Nate Parker. Stars Nate Parker.
But the guy he plays in the movie, it's like a real story. It's a true life story. I think the guy he plays is named Nate as well. A Slave Revolt movie. The trailers are pretty incredible. It got a lot of buzz out of Sundance.
Nat Turner.
Nat. You see where I make the mistake there, right? It's an honest mistake. The Nat Turner story. It's supposed to be a very powerful, very interesting movie. Also, a lot of controversy around it because of past rape allegations that went through in college, and he was acquitted. But his writing partner, the person who helped co-write this movie, and he knew in college, like he was found guilty, but they got turned over appeal. Very, very messy, very complex backstory there. So a lot of controversy around the release of this movie. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it, though, because it looks interesting.
Oh, and last but certainly not least, The Girl on the Train.
Girl on the Train comes out.
The only movie I even cared about now, man.
Emily Blunt, Haley Bennett, a.k.a. not Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Who else? Luke Evans is in that one, I think. Is that so. Luke Evans? It's either him or Dominic West.
Justin Theroux.
And Justin Theroux. Yes, Justin Theroux. And Allison Janney. Adaptation of a book. It's in the Gone Girl slot. And they even try to give it a sort of Gone Girl-ish trailer,
I noticed. Yeah, they did. They made it very thriller-esque.
And you know what, guys? It's not a David Fincher movie. You're not fooling me.
No, it's not. Even though I'm sure they really want it to be.
They really want to fool us, but they're not gonna. Guys, is that it for what's in theaters?
Yes.
That means it's time for...
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris.
Yes.
Just gotta remember this one thing.
Remember just one thing, people.
If you don't have at least one enemy in this world, you're doing something wrong. Doctor's out.
Doctor's out. Doctor says, go out there and make an enemy.
You gotta have at least one. You cannot be so nice as to where you are totally pleasing to every single person that you have met.
I don't think I have an enemy.
You've gotta have at least one enemy.
Are you my enemy?
There's gotta be at least one person who doesn't like you.
Can you be my enemy?
I would love to be your enemy, Chris.
Thank you, Drew. All right.
I'm going to murder you later.
Good. I feel much better now. Guys, let's take a quick break. Thank you, Dr. Drew. We appreciate it. Crespo Disco time. I got to be honest. I just grabbed a couple quick songs out of my own library here. Probably played them before, but who cares? Here's one from the Social Network soundtrack and then one from the Fight Club soundtrack. So we're going a little bit electronic on this. And we'll be back with the second half of the show, Cinema Crespity. So I need another Workingman beer. Are you going to try one of these beers?
Oh, yeah.
You going to try one? All right. Actually, I think there's only one cold one, so you can try a cold one. Okay. All right, here we go, guys. We'll be right back with the second half of the show. Here we go.
For an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program / podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy talking nonsense with Eric and Stacy along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
All right, so is that our last audition? Do we have anything else, sir?
Actually, sir, we have one final audition. I'm kind of doing this as a favor. I know this guy. He's a friend of my roommate. He just kind of needs the work, so I said I'd get him in, if you don't mind. And he's
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, yeah, farm it. Let's get it over with. Why don't you go ahead and bring him in?
Thank you very much, sir. I'll let him in. Hi, how's it going? Welcome. Could you please state your name for the camera?
Richard Bain.
All right, Bane. Should I call you Mr. Bane or?
No.
All right.
It's just Bane.
Thank you, sir. You'll be reading the part of Vincent today.
I thought I was prepared to read for Jules.
You'll be reading the part of Vincent.
Okay. That throws me off a little, but I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
We're just gonna start whenever you're ready. Just let me know when you've prepared yourself.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, tell me about the hash bars.
What do you want to know?
Well, hash is legal there, right?
Yes, it's legal, but it isn't 100% legal. I mean, you can't walk into a restaurant, roll a joint, and start puffing away. You're only supposed to smoke in your home or certain designated places.
Those are hash bars.
Yeah, it breaks down like this. It's legal to buy it, it's legal to own it, and if you're the proprietor of a hash bar, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, which doesn't really matter because... get a load of this. If the cops stop you, it's illegal for them to search you. Searching you is a right that the cops in Amsterdam don't have.
That did it, man. I'm fucking going. That's all there is to it.
You'll dig it the most. But you know what is the funniest thing about Europe?
What?
It's the little differences. A lot of the same shit we got here, they got there, but they're just a little different.
Examples?
Well... in Amsterdam, you can buy beer in a movie theater. And I don't mean in a paper cup either. They give you a glass of beer, like in a bar. In Paris, you can buy beer at McDonald's. Also, you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
No, they got the metric system there. They wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
What did they call it?
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese? Royale with cheese. What did they call it? Big Mac.
Big Mac's a Big Mac. They just call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac? What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go into a Burger King. But you know what they put on French fries in Holland instead of ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise!
God damn.
I seen them do it. And I don't mean a little bit on the side of the plate. They fucking drown them in it.
Okay. That's enough. Thank you, Mr. Bane, for your time.
Actually, can I get you one more? I think I can do this again.
No, that's all right. We're a little short on time today.
Like I said, I was prepared for Jules.
Once again, sir, thank you for your time.
Okay, well, do you have my headshots? Can I leave an extra headshot right here?
We have your headshot, sir. We don't need an extra.
Okay, so I'll call you.
No, actually, we'll call you, sir.
So my agents will call you?
No, we'll call you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Please leave.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBshow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBshow.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right, we are back. Episode 195 is underway once again. I am Chris Crespo. I got Drew Sikogman. Drew.
Dude.
Where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
That's right. You can hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. The show is at Crespediso. Facebook is Cinema Crespediso, and Instagram is Cinema Crespediso. Rate and review our show 5 stars on iTunes. You know what? If you want to rate us 4 stars, go ahead. We get it.
3 stars is
3 stars is fine. It's still pass. Mm-hmm. If you want to rate us 2 stars or less,
fuck yourself.
I think go fuck yourself. If you do, we'll still read it on the show. We will.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe then we'll also tell you to go fuck yourself. Yeah, totally. Who we're not telling to go fuck himself is our homie Ron, because he left us a review on iTunes.
Nice.
On iTunes, he is Ron the Second, which is that's cute. Mm-hmm. He writes his iTunes review for us. Best movie podcast in the Southeast, 5 stars. Absolutely. He expanded to the Southeast. I say number one podcast in Florida. He says number one podcast.
Southeast.
Fuck yeah. Fuck you, Georgia, Louisiana, Alabama. Fuck you, Mississippi.
Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina.
That reminds me of something else that we're going to have to do before I forget. Put that right there. Here's his review. He writes in wonderful Ron speak. Here we go. The fact that they care about the listeners with the voice popular. They are aware of their power and influence and use it for good. The fun duo of Chris and Debonair Drew inform us all what good and tell us it stinks if it does. Be it movie or TV or video game, respect them is to love them. Ron, thank you so much. Debonair Drew, what do you think of that?
I mean,
it's a nice review, right?
Yeah. Got another nickname for myself. Fantastic.
You're debonair, dashing.
What else that starts with a D?
Delightful.
I don't know about that.
You're Drew Sikogran. That's what you are. Real quick, excuse me, before I forget, top 10 downloads for the month of September, because it's now October. Top 10 in the United States. Florida is obviously number one. But outside of Florida, we got California, Texas, Ohio, Maryland, Virginia, New Jersey, Illinois, Washington, D.C., New York and Connecticut. That's your top 10. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate that. International-wise, outside the United States, number one is UK. Technically, it's a few countries lumped together, but that's how the podcast stats come back, right? Yeah. What are you going to do? Number one's UK. After that, number two, Canada.
Canada, eh?
And then France, Germany, Portugal, Greece, Spain, the Islamic, I'm going to try that one again. The Islamic Republic of Iran.
Ooh.
New Zealand. Rounding out the top 10, Serbia. Shout outs to all our Serbian listeners. You guys are the
big
best.
Ups.
Big ups. Big ups, Serbia. Radio Free Serbia. That's what we're all about. Guys, what are we going to start with? You know what I feel like starting with? Because our homie Ron the Second mentioned it. The Voice Popular, a.k.a. the Vox Populi, the segment of the people. We're going to go ahead and start with that. Which means we start with this.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
On Facebook, Jerry hit me up through the messenger service. I think it was for the show. I can't tell. It sounds like a show question.
Sure.
So I saved it for the show. Okay. I know she listens, so she's getting her answer one way or the other. So shout out to Jerry. She's awesome. She's been supporting us since day one. Madea Halloween movie. I'm sure there will be a morale to the story. Do you think there will ever be a straight Madea movie? Thoughts?
No.
Yeah,
like a straight Madea movie.
Yeah, like a drama.
Yeah, that defeats the. I mean,
I think it's a. Yeah,
he like the Madea thing is like his shtick. That's how he gets weird.
Right. That is how it's how Tyler Perry gets his rocks off in front of everyone.
Yeah, that's how he gets weird.
That's his thing.
I don't think you're ever gonna get a straight Madea movie. No, because the point of these Madea movies is that it's fucking weird.
Do got to agree though that there's definitely gonna be some sort of morale, some sort of moral.
I just want to know if it's gonna be horribly racist or not.
Oh, it might be. Usually these things are racist one way or the other, and also has some sort of weird, sometimes misogynist like Christian right undertones and angle to his messages and story. So there'll be something there for sure, but
I don't plan on seeing it. So
yeah, that's the thing. But maybe we should see.
I watched one.
We did watch one.
I don't want to watch anymore.
Watch another one. Did we watch another one? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we should watch them all.
No.
Drew.
No.
Drew.
No.
I got an idea. Drew.
No.
I got an idea.
No.
Drew. Look at my eyes. They're white. No. I got an idea.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, Jerry. I don't think there'll ever be a straight normal Madea movie. That's probably not. And you know what? It's probably for the best.
Yeah,
probably for the best. What else we got, Drew?
Paul Hine got at us on Facebook.
What's up, Paul?
He's got a review. He's got a review of Swiss Army Man.
Nice. Now on DVD this week.
This movie is absurdly funny, and at times even weirdly deeper than the fart jokes. The soundtrack is amazing and comes alive from within the cast. At times, I tried explaining the synopsis of this movie to a friend of mine, and before I could finish, we were both laughing out loud. At this point, if I saw A24 painted on a wall, I'd stop and stare just for a few to see if something was awesome was about to happen. I agree. Like, if I just saw the A24 logo just like around, I'd be like, wait, hang on, guys, hang on a second. Why? Potentially something awesome might be about to happen.
Some potential amazing art might unfold before us.
Right before us. Very, right there.
Very sneakily.
Yeah,
A24, they got great taste
they
over there.
Kill it.
They make a lot of very daring pickups out of festivals out of the last couple of years, and they've been one of my favorite distributors for sure.
Exactly. They've been, in my book, they've been killing
it. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Swiss Army Man's home. Where Paul's right. It's, I say now, obviously, in retrospect, but yeah, the movie's set up, it's a farting corpse movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fart jokes in the movie,
but
it's much deeper and
way
much more
deeper.
Humanistic than, it's very interesting.
How you know, it's surprising how human the movie is when it's half the movie is a corpse.
Yeah, right? And the soundtrack, I love that soundtrack, that all acapella soundtrack, stuff. It's pretty amazing, absolutely. Yeah, Paul, I agree with all that stuff.
And he's also got a Hunt for the Wilder People review.
Nice!
Fantastic watch. Ricky Baker is a breakout character, and Sam Neill is quite great as Uncle Heck. New Zealand looks beautiful and keeps delivering quality films.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what Waititi brings to Thor Ragnarok.
For real. For real. Hunt for Wilder People is a great movie. People need to check that one out. Ricky Baker, man.
Ricky Baker and Morse from America.
Morse America now playing at the Enzian.
Go to China.
Also,
I'm telling you.
Also, A24, right?
These movies write themselves.
They do write themselves. yes, I love Hunt for Wilder People. People, check that one out. Taika Waititi is doing Thor Ragnarok right now. Damn, that's going to be a crazy movie.
Yeah, it is.
I really hope it's good.
No.
Really, I have weirdly high hopes for a Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought I would like be looking forward to a Thor movie,
but,
let alone hope that's like, oh man, I hope this is really good.
But here we go, Chris.
But here we are. Thor Ragnarok right around the corner. 2017, I think. Thanks, Paul. We really appreciate the reviews, buddy.
Our boy Ron. Speaking of Ron,
our homie Ron
got at us on Facebook.
Okay.
I think this is a little bit much. A film set in old time. Oh, okay. So he sent it. Hang on. Set up first. He sent us a news article. From Yahoo Movies UK.
Okay.
About. Hang on. Tim Burton grilled on why Miss Peregrine has a mostly white cast.
Right. I'll bear a little bit of controversy. Apparently, that a Tim Burton movie has an all-white cast, which is like, guys, have you been paying attention to Tim Burton movies for the last 25 years?
Not just white. Like, pale white.
Literally.
Yeah.
He makes the palest movies.
Uh-huh.
Corpse Bride. But for
so...
some reason, now it's an issue. Everyone who listens to this show for any amount of time knows I'm all for equality, no borders, no labels, etc., etc. Trying to nail Tim Burton for his white cast, his white movies, is like being mad at the sun for being hot. It's like,
yeah.
Come on, guys. You're pointing this out now. Did you see Edward Scissorhands?
Not
a white person, nothing but white people in that entire world.
So
anyway,
so
go ahead.
Ron says, I think this is a little bit too much.
Thank you, Ron.
A film set in old-time British time is what I get from the trailer. I have not seen it or read the books, but this is the man who made Billy Dee Williams as Harvey Dent in Batman.
That's true, too.
Uh-huh. He just sees the story, and who fills in the role fits the roles.
That's very true.
I do worry about the oversensitive nature of society with the new graduating classes. I hope they learn context and art can be fluid and know how to pick their battle. This is not one.
Yeah, there's an argument for picking battles. I'm not going to blame it on a generational thing, though, because I think that's lame. Plus, we're millennials. I ain't good. We're upright millennials, but still, I ain't going to... All those think pieces were about me? I don't think so, man. Now I'm going to be pissed off.
What else? And Ron also sent in an email.
He sent him an email?
Okay, yes. Good. Apparently, he saw the movie.
Then he went and saw the movie.
Yes.
He followed up on his own post.
Correct.
Thank you, Ron. Now let's get an informed opinion from the man himself.
Well, fellas, I seen Mrs. P. Home for Peculiar Kids, and I thought it was delightful and fun.
Okay.
The portions I was fixated on about diversity, I threw an article up about how Tim Burton is being scrutinized.
Which we just mentioned.
Film. Yep. I still say he made Harvey Dent black in the Batman movie back in 1990, and I think that was super cool.
Yeah, true.
I am sure Domineering Drew... can attest to how Harvey is a prominent white character. So I'm a believer that he just sees the actors and their skills, not really looking to fill the rainbow cutout of diversity the PC culture is forcing upon movies.
Okay. PC culture, Ron, don't fall for that shit. She's like, I'm a person, what?
Let me finish this email.
Yeah, please do. That's what I'm
talking about. The fact that this movie takes place in 1943 Wales during World War II makes me give reason enough to have a predominantly white cast.
Okay.
But because of this article, I was constantly checking and wondering would a person of color be better for this role? Mm. It took me out of the movie a lot. It made me kind of frustrated in general that this even is a subject of discussion. But then I ask myself, am I hypocritical? I scream whitewashing for Gods of Egypt and that Christian Bale Moses shit. Why am I not saying the same thing in this film? I would like to think that it's historical and geographical based material that I have issue with when it's an all-white cast. But then I let things like Hamilton slide and think that diversity brings history a fresh take. So I decided context is key. Yeah. Headlines are only used to sell paper and clickbait. Don't make a decision unless you know your own investigation and figure it out from the details. Now I am on episode 10 of Luke Cage.
Whoa. That was fast.
Yeah. Which has reinforced a lot of things. One, watch this after watching The Get Down. They complement each other tons.
Interesting.
Two, Alfred Woodard is so elegant and powerful of an actor. Three.
I love Alfred Woodard.
I hate the N-word and all its incarnation, and it should never be used. This series is poignant and helps elevate superhero genre to a place of social awareness and grace that should not go unrecognized. Well, next week, I hit you up on more TV shit because apparently I feel movies are too much of a commitment, but I can spend 13 hours bringing on a show. Peace and pizza. Ron, Ron.
That's funny. A lot to unpack there. First off, about the whitewashing stuff and all that. I think I agree.
Context.
Yeah, 1940s Wales, I would imagine, would be predominantly white.
Yes.
White society.
All white.
I'm sure there are Muslim, blacks, a couple Hispanics. I mean, there's going to be some diversity no matter where you go. But, yeah, I would imagine predominantly white, hence the art of the time. Yeah. Reflecting that time should reflect that, right? So yeah, you should be okay with that. I can see being fine with that and then being pissed when some like Gods of Egypt Exodus comes around and all the North Africans are played by Welshmen and Englishmen and Americans, white Americans. So that totally makes sense. And then the Luke Cage stuff. We gotta get on Luke Cage and the Get Down. We'll be talking about both those shows.
From what I hear, Luke Cage, he's a bulletproof black guy in a hoodie.
That
has got to scare a lot of people.
That is going to scare a lot of people. Oh man, we need Luke Cage now more than ever, bro.
Seriously.
He needs to run around putting PDs in their place. I'm looking forward to that and the Get Down, so we'll definitely check it out. Thanks for all the information, Ron. We really appreciate that.
We've got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott? Our homie Scott.
Entitled Talking TV.
Scott, yes, we just did a Talking TV bonus episode. I encourage people to hit us up with their thoughts on TV shows.
Luke Cage is the shit.
There we go. Alas, new Luke Cage.
I'm only four eps in, but if there wasn't so much soccer to watch this weekend, I'd have finished the whole damn season by now. Huh. And I never binge watch anything.
No shit.
So fucking good.
Wow.
That is all. Take care, guys. Scott.
Wow, Scott loves the Luke Cage.
He loves Luke Cage. Man, everybody loves the Luke Cage.
But we're finishing Ash vs. Evil Dead first, right? Yes. That's the decision we made.
Yes, we have to finish that. Because if we start Luke Cage and it's really that good,
then we're going to want to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm loving Ash vs. Evil Dead, though.
It's amazing.
That's a crazy show.
It's slapstick violence. It's like Sam Raimi. So much gooey blood everywhere. So much weird, odd blood that you have to, it's comical.
Yes.
It is not serious in any way, shape, or form.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it makes me want to, go back and watch Evil Dead 1 and 2 and, other Sam Raimi type things. True.
Mm-hmm.
We blew right through it. It happened 3 minutes ago. True Chicago versus the world.
Yes.
You are 12-8. I had a game set up for our guests today. We were finally going to get you back, get that record changed. But you know what? Things happen. We still got guests scheduled for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. All great guests, too. Hopefully they all make it. So here we go, Drew. This week's game. Oh, this is going to be a fun one. I was looking forward to having you going up against our guests. But this week's game, Drew, is called James. Or James.
So what? Franco Khan. Somebody else.
Oh, Drew, you got two out of three, man. You are ready to kill this. Who is in this movie? I tell you the movie. You tell me who's in it. James Franco, James Khan, or Kevin James.
Okay, I gotcha.
All right, here we go. Number one, Mickey Blue Eyes.
Colin.
That's correct. Number two, Here Comes the Boom.
Kevin James.
That's correct. Number three, Annapolis.
James Khan.
Franco. That's the boxing one. The Naval Academy boxing one. Remember that one?
No.
Number four, Hotel Transylvania.
Kevin James.
That's correct. Number five, That's My Boy.
Okay, that was that one. Kevin James.
No, James Caan. Nah, that's a tricky one.
Really?
Because you would think it's an Adam Sandler movie. That'd be Kevin James. What is James Caan? Because he plays in that.
Interesting.
That was group A. It went from easy to hard. Yeah. It's about to go easy to hard again. Because I expect to have a guest here. Number six, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Franco.
Correct. Elf.
James.
Which one?
Oh, sorry, Kevin.
No,
Kevin
James. No, James Caan. He was the older guy. The dad and
James
the boss.
James Caan, you made some poor decisions in your life when it comes to acting in your old age.
Got you again. The Dilemma.
The Dilemma.
Franco.
Kevin James. That's one of him and Vince Vaughn, and they're on a couple's retreat of some sort.
Whatever.
Milk.
James Franco.
That's correct. He kisses Sean Penn. And finally, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Please tell me it's James Caan.
That is James Caan. Yes. He played Flint Lockwood's dad. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. There you go. Back to the Vox Populi, right? Are we done with the Vox Populi? Is that it? It's over? No more Voices of the Peoples? Well, then let's get into some movie news. How does that sound?
What happened to Billy D?
We'll do that after the movie news.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a fluid second half. We do things how we want to do.
Actually, we should just do Billy D now.
What? You just want to jump right into Billy D?
Trust me. It'll make things easier.
Because it ties into other things or something. You feel like you're making a producerial decision.
Yes.
You know what? We are a co-producer of the show. So here's the Billy D intro. Doing all the air drumming and there's no way to see it. All these people are missing this great entertainment of me. You're the only one to see me do any air drumming.
It wasn't that good. What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D?
I've been crazy busy with work and only got to watch Blade Runner and Luke Cage this weekend.
Of course, everyone's watching that Luke Cage.
Obviously, Blade Runner is amazing. The end.
Man, Blade Runner is one of those things, Billy. It's a lot like Zodiac.
No, exactly.
Where I'm like,
if it's on, I will watch it until I decide that I don't want to watch it anymore, or like, it ends.
Like, every other day, I think to myself, like...
Should I watch Blade Runner?
I kind of feel like putting on Blade Runner. Just, like, at least watching, like, the first hour of it. It's either that or Zodiac. I'm like, I kind of feel like watching Zodiac right now.
We did that last week.
It's like, I was like, that was, like, 3 weeks ago, motherfucker.
Damn it.
That means it's time to rewatch it.
Luke Cage, once again, is Marvel's best TV show with Netflix yet. From the score, the soundtrack, to the story, to Harlem, it's love letter to black culture, and it's a much-needed breath of fresh air in the MCU.
Yeah.
See it. Right. And seriously, the music. It's all Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed from A Tribe Called Quest, so it's the best music in the MCU. If anyone is interested in checking out my YouTube channel, I'm going to start regularly updating with content there.
Cool.
The Candidate is the newest one. Stay cool, Billy D.
The Candidate is hysterical. I retweeted it. What was the line that I really liked? I even tweeted the line because I thought it was so funny. It was like, God. See, now I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look up the tweet because I thought the line was so funny. It's his, I remember a few months ago when that Donald Trump guy was out there.
Yeah,
and I know he took a series of pictures.
Bunch of pictures about it.
He took the pictures and turned it into like an old-timey,
yeah, like an old-timey silent film.
Old-timey silent film. There you go. And the quote that I like was, when suddenly, a grotesque appears.
Yes, a grotesque appears.
And the music is really good. And you didn't put the name of the YouTube channel. How are people supposed to find his YouTube channel?
I would assume I Love Blood
probably,
somewhere.
I Love Blood. You can go to my Twitter, at IamChrisCrespo, and scroll down not too far, or check the media, and you'll see my link to his tweet. With the Candidate. Awesome. Very good. Man, we got that Luke Cage, man.
Yeah.
Everyone's all about it.
That's what I'm saying.
We got multiple Luke Cage reviews.
Everybody loves that Luke Cage. And most people are already done with it, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, guys, don't you want to enjoy your meals as you eat them? Like, no, taste them. Right?
Wharf it down.
Yeah, fucking for real. Okay, guys, let's get into the movie news. I don't have an intro, so I just figured. How about this one? Oh, no, that's yours. How about this one? Damn it, we already did that one. How about this one? All right, movie news time. Here we go. Which includes TV. Someone used... How did they do this? There's a fellow named Todd Schneider who is a big fan of data mapping. Are you a big data mapping fan, Drew?
Don't even know what data mapping is.
Data mapping is when you take data and you put it on a map.
That sounds stupid.
Pretty much making infographics.
Okay.
He took the animated television series called, you may have heard the show before, it's called The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's been on TV for almost 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
He took it and he tallied up the amount of dialogue spoken by all the supporting characters, i.e. not the main Simpsons family. And he charted it out so you can see who speaks the most. And this is all based on like transcripts and screenplays that he put into an algorithm,
mm-hmm.
counted out all the words, all the lines of dialogue. Drew, who do you think of all the Simpsons supporting characters speaks the most on the show?
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns is number one. Very good. You want to give me a guess who you think might be filled at the top five? You already nailed number one.
Mo.
Mo's number two.
Number three and four are probably Lenny and Carl.
Lenny and Carl is a little further down. Lenny is like 10 and Carl's like 15.
Skinner.
Skinner's number three.
I don't know if Crabapple would be above Willy or if Willy would be above Crabapple.
Crabapple is above Willy, but she is like
down.
12.
She's down there. Okay. I'm trying to think of...
Willy is like 20-something.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Smithers talks a lot.
Smithers is like 10. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. He's like 12.
Whatever, I almost have the top five.
You nailed the top three. Flanders is four.
Flanders.
Krusty the Clown is five.
Okay.
Grandpa Simpson, very close at six, and Chief Wiggum, they're practically tied. Kent Brockman, Milhouse, Apu rounded out, and then Lenny. The most interesting thing about this, though, that people have pointed out, it charts out, this looks like, man, out of seasons 1 through 26, this is like the top 50 characters, something mm-hmm. like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 female characters.
Hmm.
Mostly dudes. Mostly dude writing staff.
Well, but here's the thing.
Neglected the women. Outside of, obviously, Marge and Lisa.
And I was about to say, they're two of the main characters.
Two of the three of the five main characters, if you count Maggie Simpson, are female. Maggie obviously doesn't get any dialogue, though.
No, but she does have her own episodes from time to time.
Which female supporting characters do you think would be the ones that actually get any dialogue? You already said
Krabappel.
You already said Krabappel. She was the highest.
While she was alive, I mean, the wives of... of the people are like
the what's her name? Maud.
Yeah,
Maud's not on this list
because she died.
Miss Hoover's pretty low on the list. Agnes Skinner is around 35 something. Patty and Summer are in the middle somewhere in there. Yeah. So there you go. I still like The Simpsons all these years later. They just started a new episode last week and I watched it. I thought it was fine. There's an episode tonight. I'm gonna watch it. Like, yeah, sure. Was it better in the 90s when fucking Conan O'Brien and Brad Bird were writing for the show?
No.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's still a perfectly fine show. Better than most shit that's out there. I'm still going to watch it. I think this season, too, is when they're doing the hour-long episode as well, which will be the first time they ever do an official, like, one-hour episode. Let's get into some other stuff. Sticking with TV real quick. Alfred Hitchcock. He had the Alfred Hitchcock Presents in the 50s and 60s. Alfred Hitchcock is still a very popular cultural figure. There are two biopics made about him last year, right? His movies are so referenced all the time. Birds, Vertigo, etc., etc. So someone took his TV show. They licensed it. They're making a new anthology series called Alfred Hitchcock Presents. But they're doing an American Horror Story style where it's going to be one story over the course of a season.
Okay.
That's a new thing now, I guess, right? With like Fargo's doing that, American Horror Story. I'm fine with that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean that's the way that is the way that the new TV kids are doing it.
Pretty much, right? That's a new way. Also, kind of sticking with TV. Remember how Frank Darabont started The Walking Dead with AMC?
Yes.
And then he started work on season two, but partway through that, he was let go. Yes. I guess for creative differences and stuff. Frank Darabont is now suing AMC for profits. Because the show is now into its seventh season.
Yeah, dude.
And he wants that money because he helped make the show. He helped start the show.
Hell yeah, he did.
How much do you think he's suing
that's
for?
Why, I don't know. That's why the first season was... Not just the first... That first fucking first episode was amazing.
It was the best one, man. That hour and a half black and white pilot directed. It was a movie.
Yeah, it was.
It was a great movie. Still the best episode. How much do you think he might be suing for? Take a guess. For profits. Throw a number out there.
$300 million.
$280 million, Drew! Nice. So close, man. $280 million. He is suing for $280 million. The judge working on the case, however, apparently she is so fucking busy that the court date that had to be scheduled for 2018.
Oh, my God.
Who is this lady?
Wow.
She's booked up through 2017.
She got some work to do.
And they're like, we still want you to hear her case. She's like, we can't do the 2018. And they're like, that's fine. These people are insane.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, jumping into movies. First off. We have Terry Gilliam.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a Netflix pick before. We talked about Lost in La Mancha.
Yes, he's been trying to make this fucking movie for a very long time.
This Don Quixote movie. Yep. The man who killed Don Quixote. He announced this year that he had a cast. Adam Driver's in this time.
Okay.
They had a shoot date scheduled for this fall. It was supposed to start shooting.
I like how you say had.
Yes, yes, Drew. You're picking up on the clues. Drew, you're picking up on the clues. Don Quixote is fucking cursed. Terry Gilliam announced a production delay. Not a permanent one.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But there is a delay. According to him,
it's permanent.
One of his Portuguese producers promised him that they would have X amount of dollars by this date, and then he found out very recently he did not have that money secured.
Uh-huh.
So the movie is being delayed so they can make sure they get that money. This movie may never happen.
It's not going to happen, Chris.
It may never happen.
He's cursed.
Isn't it weird how that happens with certain people?
Yeah, certain movies, man, they're just... They're not...
Not meant to be.
To be made.
I think Hot Wheels may be one of these movies.
God, I hope so.
Because Mattel's been trying to make it for like a decade, and McGee was the guy who directed the Charlie Angels movie, Charlie's Angels, and Terminator Salvation, the one with Christian Bale.
Yes.
He's been attached to a Hot Wheels movie for a while, but apparently they just got a new director signed on. Mattel is trying to move forward. They're looking at Justin Lin to direct the movie, the guy who did all the Fast and Furious movies.
I mean, that would make a little more sense.
Because he's a car guy.
Yeah.
Made car movies.
Yeah.
But would you go see a Hot Wheels movie?
No.
What if Mattel does a crossover? What if they do a Mattel shared universe movie? What if they do a Hot Wheels film and then a Barbie movie? And then what else is Mattel, Drew?
Wow, then I care even less.
Connect Four?
Tic-Tac-Toe?
Yes, can we do a Connect Four, Tic-Tac-Toe, Barbie, Hot Wheels crossover Tetris film? Tetris. Oh, no, Tetris. Now you're just throwing things out there. Pay attention to what we're doing. Pay attention to the show, Drew. Oh, I hit the table and something fuzzed.
Like, pay attention to the show, Chris.
I think that was our headphone monitor.
Good job.
I have to pay attention to that. Drew, you mentioned the Duncan Jones movie, Mute.
Yes.
We were talking about last week's episode, yes. Right? First off, I got another piece of art I want to show you that I think is super cool looking.
Okay.
And also, we got a bit of a news update on this movie called Mute. And you know what? This link
doesn't work.
It's not working, so I'm just going to talk to you about it. The art was cool. It was like a very colorful piece of looking art. It looked like Blade Runner, but even more colorful. Okay. It actually reminded me of another movie that now is escaping me. If I saw the image, it would probably jump to my head. But they announced a deal, and I thought about this the other night as we were watching Train to Busan. They struck a deal for distribution in America, Duncan Jones, for its movie Mute, with Netflix.
Ooh.
Okay. Remember when we saw, what was the movie? It was a Duplass Brothers movie.
Yeah.
That black and white mumblecore movie that Mark Duplass and his brother did with Sarah Paulson, I think. Yes. And it said in the beginning, Netflix.
Yeah.
Which means Enzian's picking that movie up. The Enzian only shows trailers for movies that they're going to play.
Yeah.
This is good news for us, Drew. Because typically, when Netflix picks up a movie, what they want to do is put out in theaters at the same time as it comes out on Netflix.
Yes.
So the day this movie comes out, it's available. It'll be available here for us to watch. But we could hopefully also go to a theater and see it on a big screen. It's a movie I want to see on a big screen. It's cool that it'll be available right away for Netflix subscribers, but I kind of want to see it on a big screen and then come home and like rewatch it at home, right? So seeing the trailer for that Duplass Brothers movie at the end gives me hope that then they're also going to pick up Duncan Jones's Mute, because the Regal and the AMC's in town,
they have that thing against...
They have the window, that theatrical window that they want to preserve. Art House theaters, on the other hand, they're there to pick up the slack. Which is hopefully what they do. I am burp crazy. That warm land shark was not a good idea.
Well, it's a good thing you know you chugged it as fast as you could.
It was disgusting. I had to, but we got a whole case of it. Oh, half case of it. And you know what? I mean, it's my fault.
Chris, that is totally your bad.
It's my bad. Just fucking drink it.
That was on you, man.
I'll just drink it between Hopsecutioners and middle of the road working manels. That's what I'll do. I'll drink a Hopsecutioner, like, oh, this is delicious. And then I'll crack open a land shark and chug it.
And then
I'll wash it down with a working banana. And then I'll chug a land shark. Then I'll wash it down Hopsecutioner. And then,
and that's how you'll just rotation.
And then I'll drift away into sweet oblivion tonight. Hopefully I'll squeeze in some Mike Tyson's punch out. I haven't turned on the TV once today, Drew.
That's good.
Is it good? I've been wanting to play that game all fucking day.
Really?
Yes, since I woke up. I was like, I want to play this game. And then I started doing my day shit. It's Sunday. I'm supposed to have the day off.
But you did a bunch of shit.
God, my whole day has been busy, bro.
I mean, I had to work.
You had to work. I mean, it doesn't count. You're working. I got to work, too, on top of it. Martin Scorsese's movie Silence. Speaking of dream projects that are hard to get off the ground, he's been making this one for 20 years, been trying to make it. It's his Jesuit priest's hiding out underground Japan movie, Feudal Japan, with Liam Neeson, Andrew Garfield... it has a release date in December, right around Christmas. So it's going to be one of those things where it has a limited release around Christmas. People in New York and LA and Chicago will get to see it. We will get to see it probably. No. January, like 8.
Okay.
January 10. The first or second week of January, we'll get to see it. The first half of January. The Scarface remake, the double remake.
Mm-hmm.
Still pushing forward. Antoine Fuqua, fresh off the success of Magnificent Seven, looking like he's gonna do he's doing Equalizer 2 and Scarface, either in that order or flip it, but those are his next two movies lined up right now. The Scarface screenplay just got a rewrite from the guy who Terrence Winter, who wrote the screenplay for The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay. So we got some
big names behind Scarface. Now this disappoints me about the Scarface movie. I don't give a shit that it's a remake. I don't give a shit about any of that. What I give a shit about is that they're moving the action to Los Angeles so that they can make it about a Mexican cartel guy. A guy comes, an immigrant from Mexico, comes to California and becomes a big drug cartel. Sure, it's an update. In the 80s, the fear were the Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fear is the Mexicans. My problem now is, I'd say, more socially conscious person is that, do we really need another fucking...
Mexican drug dealer?
Yeah. Do we need another movie where Spanish people are portrayed as drug dealers? Spanish immigrants are portrayed as, oh, they come to this country just so they can push drugs on white people, on your white children.
Mm-hmm.
If I see another fucking movie with Benjamin Pratt playing a goddamn drug-running Colombian, I'm gonna fucking scream.
They got some good drugs, man.
Everyone's got good drugs, bro. The white people, Big Pharma, running Big Pharma. Those are the best drugs.
Those
are the best drugs.
They are.
White people got the best drugs, Drew. You know. You know. We talk about that story. We covered. I think we covered all the stories.
All right.
And then we said in the movies, you know what? Because I have it. I have it, Drew. Someone's got to do it.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightwing Round.
It ended.
Oh, damn it. I was just getting to the drum part.
Come on, dude.
All right, Drew. I need you to start the lightning round clock because I'm going to ask you 10 quick questions. I need you to give me 10 quick answers. You ready?
Nope.
Number one, what you going to do when Simon Mania runs wild on you?
Probably get run over.
Number two, do you want to live in the year 2000?
Did. Wasn't that great?
Number three, where is the exoskeleton key?
Ooh, in my pocket.
Number four, what is the true meaning behind the phrase, snap into a Slim Jim?
Oh, yeah!
Number five, if media is a virus, what is the vaccine?
Death.
Number six, puppy dogs or corn dogs?
Corn dogs.
Number seven, think of a color. Think of it. Are you thinking? Do you got it? Is it green?
No. Ah. See, it doesn't work with me, Chris.
Number eight. Number eight. Como se dice waterbed?
Waterbed.
Number nine. Edward Scissorhands, Jack Sparrow, Sweeney Todd. Who do you kick out of the sauna?
Scissorhands and Sweeney. Actually, you know, fuck it. All three of them. Johnny Depp, get the hell out of my sauna.
Interesting. Number 10. What the hell are circus peanuts?
They're peanuts at a circus? Yes.
All right. I was looking for that suffices, I guess. I guess that brings us to the end. I'm looking around. Yeah, I'm out of
notes. Of paper.
I'm out of notes. That was all the questions.
Out of beer. Out of notes, out of beer.
It's not a little bit of beer left. Let's finish this beer. Drew, I had an idea. This is the end of the show. No one's listening anymore.
I had an idea, too.
I have an idea, too. You have an idea? What's your idea?
New logo.
Already?
I got some stuff.
It's
not done, but...
You're already working on some new logo stuff?
Got some stuff. Hang on, I want to show you...
Speaking of which, as a matter of fact, shit, new stickers. I forgot to tell the homie Gabe. I'll text him, let him know. That's right. The hands logo. The new hands logo?
Yeah,
I like that idea. Go. That'd be good. Yeah, but while Drew shows me this, guys, we have new...
So that's the hand with the microphone.
Okay.
So imagine that's the one side.
Yes.
But my phone tells me I do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that's the other one.
Oh, a full reel with the metal reel. Okay. You think with the fingers like that, people still know what it's a parody of?
It all depends on how I set it up. It all depends.
I guess we'll work it out.
We'll see.
Guys, we're going to have a new logo, so definitely check that out. We're going to have new stickers. Our new stickers are coming in this week.
It'll be here Wednesday.
Yeah, our sticker business cards with the CCDC black and white ACDC logo that's on our latest shirt. If you want these new stickers, email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com and we will send you free stickers. A ton of them. Because we're going to have way too many. Also,
so you were thinking
say something else.
You said you were thinking.
I was thinking, Drew. I have an idea.
Yes,
I have an idea for bonus content.
Okay.
I got these screenplays, all these screenplays laying around.
Yes,
that I'm working on.
Yes, that you have worked lots of screenplays. You've worked
lots
on
of screenplays that are various lengths. Some of them are complete stories. Some of them are like scenes. Some of them are whatever.
Are we gonna start reading scenes?
I want to start like reading scenes and like putting productions into them. Like. We'll read
stuff. Like an old school radio broadcast.
Yes, exactly. And then I'll get the voice work done, and then I'll sit here and like put actual effort into the sound effects and the music and stuff, and it'll be like in sections, and then we'll release it over time. So we have like a whole... I have a few screenplays that are full feature length. We can split them up. It's like four or five things, and then it's over 4 or 5 weeks, release some episode.
So like a Crespo Diso miniseries.
Yes, like a Theater of the Mind type shit, like old timey radio.
From the mind of Christopher Crespo.
Pretty much, yes. And I have like sci-fi stuff, horror stuff, zombie stuff. I think I might want to start with my Samson story.
Samson's good.
Yeah, The Vengeance of Samson, which is, that's public domain. I don't care about putting that out right away because anyone can write a Samson story.
Might as well. I mean, we can throw Mogwai on there. It's not like.
Yeah,
we could throw Mogwai. Actually, we'd have to talk to Bill.
I have to get Billy involved. I'd have to get him.
Bill would have to sign off.
I would assign him parts and have him like record himself speaking several parts so he can mail them to me, and then I have to like direct him over the phone. It's a lot of work. It's a lot. It's even more work than the New Great Philosophers, I think.
Maybe we should just do the New Great Philosophers.
But a lot of the work is done though, because I also wrote a lot of this stuff. It's already pre-written. Yeah, just have to read it and record it. Uh-huh. Anyway, I'm thinking about doing that, and I'm not ready to talk about that other thing that I'm talking about. The other thing I'll be talking about, the thing that I want to do, I'm not ready to talk about that yet.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. But I'm not ready to talk about that.
Well, no, that doesn't get talked about until it's ready.
It's got to be ready. It's got to be ready.
Like, we've got to be like, yes, that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. We got the plan. Here we go.
And we've got the plan. It's just...
It's a very loose plan. Very, very loose plan. All right, so I guess that's pretty much the end of the show, guys. We are done. We're out of here. Drew, thank you very much.
You are kind of welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. And yeah, make sure you break up the big banks, read more books, and be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. And check out the Anarchist Cookbook. We will be back next week with episode 196 of Cinema Crespediso. And hopefully the guests that we have scheduled will be here. Knock on wood. Let's find out. We'll see.